Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from John chapter 2. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the text. Last week, we celebrated the baptism of our Lord. But rather than being washed clean of any sin through water and the Word, Jesus, the Word made flesh, willfully took the burden of our guilt and the sin of the whole world upon his shoulders and carried it to the cross. Through water, as St. Paul says, he who was without sin became sin for us. This week, we witness the first miracle of Christ's ministry. Once again, we see water used in an unusual way. This Epiphany season is most wonderfully explained in the light of the sacraments, baptism, and Holy Communion. The word Epiphany means a revealing. That which was once hidden is now seen. In the bread, wine, and water of the sacraments, the Word of God seems hidden. But to us, it has been joyously revealed. At the wedding at Cana, Christ revealed his power in the form of a miracle for the first time. The fullness of the power of God, the master of all creation, the eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful Lord of heaven and earth, is seemingly just another guest at this wedding. Up until this time, his power has remained hidden. Over time, it will be more fully revealed as he performs more miracles and as he proclaims his word more fully, and he is seen to be the fulfiller of all the prophecies of the Old Testament. At his baptism, we have seen Christ revealed, announced by John the Baptist and by God the Father himself, that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But in our gospel today, we see a more subtle manifestation of Jesus as the Christ. He turns water into wine. A rather simple miracle, as miracles go. I mean, compared to the other miracles that Jesus performs. I mean, this isn't exactly raising the dead. But then, is any miracle really simple? There's a good reason, though, why Jesus' first miracle of his public ministry, there is a good reason why it involves water and wine. If you read John's gospel, you see the three elements everywhere: bread, wine, and water. Read through John's gospel sometime. Make note of how many times bread, wine, and water are mentioned. As you read, keep in mind, so that you see how the sacramental life of the church flows seamlessly out of Christ's ministry. He was preparing his disciples for life after his ascension, for the life of the church. He prepares us for life in the church as we gather around bread, wine, and water. Well, Jesus is at this wedding feast, and wedding feasts in those days could last for several days. If it were a wealthy person, sometimes it would last up to a week. The amount of wine already consumed by the guests. There are some who say, well, that should have been sufficient. But now Jesus makes in excess of 100 gallons more. Each of the 6 stone jars, it says, was 20 to 30 gallons, and they filled them to the brim. It's probably closer to 150 gallons of wine. This wedding feast was going to go on for a long time. But the value of this miracle is not simply that the wedding feast was able to continue and the host would not be embarrassed because, oh, running out of wine was such a huge faux pas. It would be a major social blunder. And in a little town like Cana, this bridegroom would never be able to live that down. But Jesus came to prepare people for something far more important than just a Galilean wedding celebration. He came to prepare them for the feast which has no end. The ultimate wedding feast of Christ and his bride, the church. Christ's preaching and ministry was to prepare people to receive God's salvation. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, as John said. He is the Son of God himself, as God the Father thundered from the heavens at his baptism. Yet, throughout the life of the church, it was going to be through bread, wine, and water that he would be most intimately received by the children of God. As was mentioned last week, as we celebrated the baptism of our Lord, baptism is so much more than just a welcoming ceremony into the family of God. It's where we are brought into an intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior through that water joined with the Word of God. It's where our bodies become the temple of His Holy Spirit. It's where we who were dead in our unrighteousness are made alive in Christ. It is through that water in the Word that we are washed clean of all of our sin and guilt. And God reveals His name to us and places His name on each of us as we carry that seal with us the length of our days. Water and wine. The first of His miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. It wasn't His most spectacular miracle. Many who were there didn't even realize what had happened. Christ revealed His glory through very subtle means. The servants knew from where the wine had come, and His disciples believed in Him. But most people went merrily about their way, not realizing how present, active, and intimately involved God was in blessing their day. The world hasn't changed. Most people live their lives ignorant of how God blesses them with His continual presence and protection. And people go merrily about their way, completely oblivious to the fact that God is with them. As Luther says in the Catechism, God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. God is always present, always rescuing us from the terrors Satan would inflict on us if he could, if he were allowed. God is always feeding, nourishing, nurturing us. We are His dear children. He is our faithful Father. But he accomplishes all of this in very subtle ways. It's much like when you were baptized. God revealed himself to you through the extremely subtle means of seemingly simple water. But like at the wedding at Cana, a much greater power is present. A much greater power than meets the eye. Jesus seems like he's just another guest. As we gather for someone to be baptized, it seems like just water. Yet it is the Word of God joined with that water. The same holds true at the altar. The Word made flesh, Christ himself, offers his broken body and shed blood under these seemingly simple forms of bread and wine. Yet our Lord says, "This is my body. This is my blood." Bread, wine, and water, they are everywhere in John's gospel. They are everywhere in the life of God's people. Partaking of the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion, it's not simply something that we do. It's who we are. These are the marks of the Christian church. Christ's church is recognized where bread, wine, and water aren't just bread, wine, and water. Christ's church is recognized where God's children are baptized, where the Word of God is proclaimed, and the catechized are fed with the broken body and shed blood of Christ our Lord. Bread, wine, and water. God uses them in unusual ways. And it is through these means that we who were dead in our sins have been made alive in Christ. And through bread, wine, and water, God has revealed himself. He has washed us clean. And he continues to feed us. He does this through very subtle means. But like the disciples at the wedding at Cana, we know that it is by the power of God that our day has been blessed. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.